Bezer Shem is Bochur, begin Perek Shisha Asa, the 16th chapter in the Rambam's Hilchos Ma'am 11, the laws of lenders and borrowers in the Sefer Mishpatim Book of Judgments. We will continue the theme of the previous parakim, discussing the specifics of collection in unique ways. In this parak, we discuss specifically regarding the collection and the payment through someone else. As Rambam gets Allah Chalaf regarding, first of all, setting the stage of the responsibility of the borrower for the payment. Sa'achayiv, a debt, ba'achrayis ha'loiva, is in the responsibility of the borrower, until he pays it up to the hand of the lender, or to the hand of his agent. Now, if the lender tells to the borrower, okay, just throw me the money you owe me, and you'll be exempt. And he throws it, and it gets lost, it gets burnt before it gets to the hand of the lender, potter is going to be exempt because he told him to throw it. Now, but let's say he tells him, throw me the amount you owe me, but Toiras Gittin, in the halacha that the sages gave regarding the laws of divorce documents, so it's going to follow that medium. If the money, when he threw it, ends up closer to the borrower than it is to the lender, it's still in his responsibility. If it's closer to the lender, the borrower is going to be exempt, just like we say regarding Gittin, if it got closer to her than to him, she's going to be divorced. Mechza mechza, if it's in the middle, im avdu misham anignavu, if it got stolen or lost from there, misham haleva mechza, then the bar has to pay half, because then it's both their responsibility, because it's in the middle. Just like we say regarding the get of a isha, that she's mugadesha v'nim gadesha, meaning that she's doubtfully, if she's divorced, it's somewhere in the middle, and therefore he's going to be halfway exempt and halfway liable. Halacha beis. Hayiruvin chayiv l'shimin manam. Reuven owed Shimon 100 dinar. V'amal Levi, now he tells Levi, look, so it tells Levi that bring to Shimon this 100 dinarim that I owe him. That he tells his own shliach, Levi, to bring it to Shimon, who he owes money to. So in Bolachzer, if Reuben wants to back out, he cannot back out anymore. In other words, he cannot ask his agent, Levi, to give him back the money because he already merited for the lender who he told him to go and bring it. It's like as if he told him to merit it for him. But even so, but still he's going to be liable for its insurance. Until the 100 dinarim get to Shimon, although he can't back out anymore, but however, he's still going to be responsible. Now, let's say Levi did listen to Reuben, and Reuben asked for it back, so Levi give it back to him. Both of them are going to be liable for its insurance, meaning if let's say it ends up being that Reuben becomes poor and he doesn't have where to pay up Shimon, Shimon could collect from the agent, because he's responsible because he already married it for him, and who are you giving it back to Reuben? Until Shimon gets his whole debt paid up to him in his hand. Halacha Gimel regarding paying up a debt through another liable party. That is Reuben Shaychev L'Shimon Manif. Reuben owed Shimon 100 dinar. V'amar Shimon L'Reuben. Now, Shimon says to Reuben, Manu Shesh L'Viyatcha, the 100 dinar that I have by you, meaning that you owe me, Tenei L'Levi, give it to someone else, give it to Levi. Now, all those three parties were standing there when this conversation was going on. And Bekiba Levi, and Levi was in agreement to this. So at that moment, what's called Maimit Shloshtim, Levi acquired the debt of Reuven. Now, generally, cannot back out, and the debt was paid up that he had on Shimon. However, let's say Benimza Reuven Ani. Let's say it turns out that Reuven actually, that owes the money, is actually a pauper. Ve'elim Mashigba Mimena. Now, Levi doesn't have anywhere to collect from Reuven. Levi could back out and go on this debt on Shimon to collect it from Shimon. She said he told because he misled him. Yeah, Reuven owes Shimon money and Shimon owes Levi. He tell him Levi to go get it from Reuven. Reuven doesn't have any money. Now, but the Miyad Levi Shu Ani, but let's say Levi knew that he was a pauper. Or actually, he actually had money at that time. Only Behem he subsequently became poor. Then in Yechalasa, and he cannot back out. Shari Kibo. Either one, either because he knew it or because it wasn't that case at that time, he accepted. Now, let's say they're in disagreement if it was or not. Toin Levi Shayu Reuben Ani Beto. Levi's claiming that Reuben was a pauper at that time and he misled him. The Shimon Ami says, not true, Ashayu. He was wealthy at that time, but he subsequently became poor. So says the Rambam, Yerol, it appears to me, Shal Shimon Lahabir Raya. It's on Shimon to bring a proof that it's not true, I didn't mislead you. The Achkach Hipatim Chayv Levi, and then he's going to be exempt from the debt owed to Levi. Why? Why is it that way? Because it shouldn't be any less than the receipt that he has, where he's like trying to get out of a debt that he owes by saying, hey, we did a Maimon Shloshtim, just like a receipt we get you out of the debt. We tell the borrower who produces the receipt that if he doesn't verify it, he's not believed to say he paid up. Same thing in our situation. It's on Shimon to bring a proof that he paid up the debt. That is that Reuben was wealthy at the time when he created this circle. And we tell him, Kaim Shaber Chavi Fater, validate your receipt and you'll be exempt. So to be here, he has to verify to show that he did have money and only subsequently became poor. Halacha Dalet continues regarding paying up the debt through a third party. We already explained the laws of business dealings, of buying and selling in the sixth parak in Hilchos Mechira Halacha Tes. Let's say Reuben didn't have any rights on Shimon. Shimon didn't owe him any money. But Reuben owed Levi money. And he goes and he tells him to go and collect it from Shimon. Now, Shimon doesn't owe Reuben any money. Reuben owes Levi money. But he tells him, go collect it from Shimon. So although he did this, again, in the procedure that we just mentioned, previous halacha, that he should get it in the presence of all three parties, loikana, he has not automatically acquired anything, because Shimon doesn't owe him anything. So obviously all three parties could back out. But vimrotz, and therefore vimrotz a Shimon shalit, and if Shimon doesn't want to give that, obviously Leiton doesn't have to give it. But vimnos, and if let's say Shimon does go and pay up Reuben's debt to Levi, so Chayzer would give him Reuben. He could then go and recollect that from Reuben, Shadal Pibnos, because he gave it based on what he was asking him, and therefore he owes him. V'chein Ratzal Levi locks up Lema. So the Levi wants to back out and to say, no, anyway, it's Ligvis Mishman. I don't want to collect from Shimon. Chayzer would give him Reuben. He could go back and collect from Reuben. V'ava B'shanifra mixes Mishman. Even if he's already collected some of Mishman, Chayzer would give him Reuben. He could go and collect the rest from Reuben, because it's not like the Halacha Mayim Shloshen, where he owes him, and then he tells him to collect from him. Then it's final, unlike over here. Halacha Hey, a related vein with other ramifications. Chen v'ni, a storekeeper. That he let a certain employer, homeowner, that to he gave him from the store, whatever he wanted, on loan. And he would give him credit, until it reached the total amount that he allowed the credit line, and then he would pay him up. The employer told him, this homeowner said, do me a favor, I have certain workers, I have to give them a certain amount, give them a seller worth of what you have in your store, or I have a creditor. Give them mona sheishloi etzli, that he has by me, meaning that I owe him. You give him from your store, and I'll pay you up, I have credit by you anyways. So the storekeeper comes and says, nasati, I gave him. But the worker or the creditor says, I didn't take from the store. So we have now a contradiction. Did he take, did he not? Now, they're owed by the employer, so the worker or the creditor swears that he never took, and he collects from the employer the debt. Now, at the same time, the storekeeper also swears and collects from the employer what he claims that he did give. Because he told him, that's very important, he told him to give, and I did what you said, therefore he could swear and collect. Now, at the same time, the worker has to swear in the presence of the storekeeper. The storekeeper also has to swear in the presence of the worker or the creditor, because they should come with them, and they should be embarrassed one from the other, because they're both claiming contradictory claims and both collecting from the employer, so you got to do it in front of each other. The case is anything similar like this would have the same halacha. Now, this oath is from a rabbinic halacha. It's a rabbinic requirement that has to be done with holding a holy object, because for biblical law, both of them would be able to collect without an oath. Because you don't swear on a doubtful claim, and the employer by each one is saying doubtfully. He doesn't even know what happened. But rabbinically, because they're obviously contradictory, so they required this oath, because they're both coming to collect. If the storekeeper died, and his inheritors don't know if he gave or not, so it comes out they don't have a definite claim, it's only coming from the creditor a definite claim. So the credit could click without an oath, like the way it is according to biblical halacha. And the same thing would be the other way around. It means poil bal chayv. If the worker or the creditor died, the storekeeper could collect without an oath. Because in either one of these two situations, the employee is not losing anything. He's only giving one payment, where he admits he owes one payment. We just don't know who is two. And the chacham only instead the shvu, because it's going to be a loss for the bal habayis. He's going to have to pay a double amount. But in either one, if one of the two parties dies, then we don't make the remaining party swear. If let's say the storekeeper says, Ata marta litin lazem mana. You told me to give this guy 100 dinarim. It's a visa b'martili, or you commanded and you told me, and you have a plan. If this guy comes, tell him I give him. And I gave him. And the employer says, lo yimartilach, I never told you such a thing. So the employer, this homeowner, swears a rabbinic oath and he's exempt. Like anyone who makes a claim and the other one is what's called kofer b'kol, totally denies it. Well, you make a rabbinic oath and you're exempt. And v'achemene, in the storekeeper, he'll have to take it up to court case with that guy he claims that he gave to. Because obviously he's not being compensated by the employer. So too, if the storekeeper says to the employer that he gives credit to, he says, look, it's written in my ledger, that I have by you 100 dinarim that you owe me. And the employer says, any day, I don't know if that's the case. So the employer, the homeowner, makes this rabbinic oath, that he doesn't know, he swears that he doesn't know, but he's exempt. Just like anyone makes a claim on his friend. And the aim, here we don't have the rabbinic injunction that the storekeeper should swear and collect, because that takana was only set in the situation that we mentioned before, where he told him to do this such a thing, and then he's saying, and he doesn't know if he gave or not because they have contradictory claims, but when the guy says, I don't know if I told you such a thing, then the homeowner swears rabbinic oath like someone who's totally denying, at least he doesn't know definitively that he owes. And therefore it's going to be exempt because the mitzvah bechaber all of a raya. Halacha Zayin continues with the collection of a document that was bought from someone else. So Reuven shaitzi shtar chayv. If Reuven produces a document of a debt, sheyesh leLevi al Shimon. So Reuven has a document about two other people that Levi is owed by Shimon to him. V'toyin, and so what's Reuven producing a document that Shimon owes to Levi? Because he claims shaLevi nasan aloy, that Levi gave it to him, this deed, b'ksivu mesira, with writing and with giving it over, and therefore it's his now. V'avad ashtar shekino, but he just lost the document that he acquired it from Levi. Oishatorn always claims shekino la gavakarka, that he acquired him by dint of when you buy property, you can get other things with that, which would include this shtar chayv. So how is it going for Isma Shimon? So he could collect this amount from Shimon, even though he's not the creditor, since he's producing the document. What's he holding the document? Obviously, because he got it from Levi. Now, let's say Toin Shimon Shemputel Levi. Let's say Shimon's claiming, but I paid up Levi. Vaman, he says, therefore Yeshavali, swear to me that I didn't pay up Yeshavali, Le Shimon. So Levi, who's the real creditor, he swears to Shimon that he wasn't paid up yet. V'achach Yigbe Reuben, and then Reuben, who he claims he bought it from Levi, then he collects because he has the Shachav. Hoidele Shepadam. However, let's say Levi admits that Shimon did pay up, which he's believed. Because even if there would be witnesses that this was acquired by Reuven, if Levi wants to, who's a real creditor, he could pardon the whole debt that Shimon owes him, even though he subsequently had sold it to Reuven, like we explained in the sixth paragraph in Hilchos Mechira Lochid Beis. So if he admits that it was paid up, then Yesham Levi to Reuven. Then Levi the creditor has to then pay up to Reuven, because had he pardoned, he would be obligated to pay whatever's in the document, as Rambam explains, Hilchos Chevel HaMazik, Perek Zayin Halacha Yud. So to be claimed it was paid up, he's got to pay whatever's in the document, because now he's causing a loss to what he sold to Reuven. Now, Toin Levi Shleimacher, but let's say Levi claims, I never sold this to Reuven, and I never gave this document to him. Then Nishbeh Heses V'Nifta, then he takes a rabbinic oath and he's going to be exempt if Reuven doesn't have any witnesses, obviously, that he acquired the document. Halacha ches, regarding a shtar chayv that's by a third party or by the lender himself. So shtar shahi biyad shalish, if there was a document in a third party's hands, v'haytim tachat yod bevezin v'aman, he produces it in the court and he says, peruhu, this document that those two people, one has on the other, this that I'm holding onto it, it actually was paid up. So nemanis believe. Because avapish ashtar mokoyim, even though the document is validated, she'ilu ratzo, because, well, I mean, it's validated, so obviously it's something that it's owed. Yeah, but Sheila Ratzo, had this third party wanted, he could have burnt it, he could have torn it up, and no one would know it, be any the wiser. So even though he's producing it, but he's saying it was paid up, he's believed. What's known as a migui. Let's say the third party, that person dies. But then they find handwriting in the possession of this third party's assets, which is written over there, that says that this document that's still by him, it was already paid up. Here's a peru, it's paid up. Even if there's no witnesses on that writing that he had, and the reason for that is because since the lender gave over the document to the third party, obviously believed him, and therefore what he wrote is going to be have halachic standing. But let's say if the writing comes out from the possession of the lender, and in the lender's writing it says that document has already been paid up, doesn't make a difference. Even if it was in the handwriting of the lender himself, is just fooling around, just being facetious. It's not necessarily genuine, and he might have been writing for whatever ulterior motive he had. It doesn't prove that it was paid up to exempt the borrower. Now, let's say there were witnesses on the writing which we find in the possession of the lender. So, if those witnesses are verified, so obviously the document has been paid up, because the courts do not validate signatures of a receipt only if they verify that it was paid up already. Not the main of Kim, but let's say those witnesses have not been verified. So you ask those witnesses who are signed on the receipt. If they don't know about this, we don't have those witnesses around to ask them. Since it's coming out from the possession of the lender, or it's coming out from the possession of the inheritors of the lender, that receipt has no validity. And that is, we suspend that the lender had just prepared it, that maybe the borrower is going to bring back money on Erev Shabbos to pay up, and he's not going to have time to write a receipt. And the guy's not, I'm not paying up, I don't have a receipt. So he wanted to have it ready. So the fact that it's a receipt doesn't mean that it was actually paid up. Halacha yod, nimtza hashtar. If let's say this document, which this receipt in question of the previous halacha relates to that document, and they actually find that document, which we said there was a receipt written on that, which we said has no validity, but the document was found being shtaris peru, actually between his paid up documents, okay, then hariz peru, then we will say it's paid up. The ava pishein edim alek sabanim say, and even if there weren't even witnesses on the handwriting that we found in the possession of the lender, because first of all, we have this writing, and also we find the document in the paid up documents. So it would be found written in the actual document itself. Bein mipanav, whether in front, bein machar, whether in the back of it, even on part of it. If it's written on the document itself, the shtozah peru, that this document has been paid up, or this and this amount has already been collected already, then you do based on the writing. And even though on that writing there's no witnesses, because even though it's being produced in the possession of the lender, which we said usually it's not approved, because she'ilu nifra, had it not been paid up, we never have written it on the document itself. We're not fooling around, and he's not preparing on the document itself, because he would not want to create a flaw in it unless it was definitive that it was actually paid up. Halachri, your Aleph continues, what do you do with a shtar chayiv that's not clear about what it's doing over there? So amitzi shtar, someone finds a document that's not his own, bein shtereis amongst his documents, veini dematibida, doesn't know what its quality is. Was it deposited to him by the borrower who paid it up? Was it deposited by the lender who still owed the money? So it should remain with it till Yonah comes and resolves our doubt, because we don't know and they can't return it to either one of them. Someone says to his sons when he's passing away, says, from all my documents, there is a document that has been paid up. I don't know which one it is. His documents are all considered paid up, meaning if any one of the borrowers claims and says, well, mine is the one that's been paid up, he's believed, because every single document is a doubt. Maybe that's the one that's been paid up. But nimtzala echad sham shnei shtaris, let's say one debtor has over there by the creditor two documents. So we'll consider hagalah peru, the biggest, the greater, the larger one paid up, but the small one for sure is not paid up, meaning it's one of the two. So we'll let you off the hook from the big one, because it's only one, but the small one you'll have to pay. Let's say he says to his friend, "Shtar l'cha biyadi perua. The document that you have by me is paid up." So here also, hagad l'perua, we'll consider the bigger one. We don't know which one. We'll consider the big one paid up. V'akan l'ni perua, but the small one's not paid up. Chayv l'cha biyadi perua. Let's say he says, the debt that you have by me is paid up. Now that word chayv has a double connotation. You could explain chayv means a shtar chayv, which is one of the documents that you have by me. But chayv also could mean the entire amount that you borrowed from me that you owe me. Since you can interpret either way, we say what's called Yad Bala Shtar Tachtoina, the one that's producing the document has the lower hand, and therefore we consider as if it's open paid up, and if the lender makes such a claim that he paid it all up, he'll be believed. And therefore, Kol Shtar Sheyesh Lo Alav Kum Perua, all the documents that he has on him are all going to be considered as paid up, because he used the word of Chayv.